World Sport from the BBC with me, Steve Crossman. Coming up, the two most successful teams in the history of English football meet in the Premier League at Old Trafford on Sunday as Manchester United face Liverpool. Elsewhere, Chelsea rise to third in the table after a stroll in Stoke.
Hazard on his left foot. He shoots from distance. It flies into the net. That's an excellent goal. It's Stoke City 0, Chelsea 4 now.
And three NFL records are broken in a single game as the Baltimore Ravens defeat the Denver Broncos in the playoffs. But first, Manchester United will go 10 points clear at the top of the Premier League if they beat Liverpool at Old Trafford on Sunday. Their neighbours, second place Manchester City, play later in the day, so Sir Alex Ferguson's side will swell the gap into double figures with a win. Regardless of the result at Old Trafford, Ferguson is not getting complacent though, despite his side's strong position.
I can't ever say I'm confident in a league that's such a competitive league, in which, as you know, that mistakes can happen time and time again, and you can always do anyone. You know, just look at some of the results over the years. You get some surprising results, and on other occasions we get results that people were actually surprised to win. You know, but that's the nature of this league. You can lose to anyone in this league. There's no question about that.
Well, Liverpool have not won a league title since 1990. United have been champions 12 times since then. But manager at Anfield, Brendan Rodgers, still thinks the club should be considered as being in the same bracket as Sir Alex Ferguson's team.
Two of the biggest clubs in the world, not just in Britain. There's two clubs that are renowned worldwide. And my short period of time here, and being away in pre-season and everything that goes around the football club that you have to accept as part of the manager, you then realise actually the sheer size of the club, and it's a history that makes a club. You know, of course we're fighting in this present moment to be better and to improve and get back to somewhere near the heights, and we know that's a journey in itself, but the history of this club is incredible, and as I said, that will always have it out there, irrespective of how it's doing, as one of the leading clubs in the world.
Well, if Liverpool win the game, champions Manchester City will cut the deficit at the top to 4 points if they beat Arsenal at the Emirates. It's another high-profile fixture, but City fans returned over 900 unsold tickets, priced at around $90 each ahead of the game. So the question is, are they too expensive? Here's the opinion of both managers, Roberto Mancini in a moment, but first, Arsenal boss Arsene Wenger.
You want ideally the ticket prices to be as low...
Wenger.
You want ideally the ticket prices to be as low as possible, but on the other hand, the only way we can pay the wages is and compete without any external help is to have a ticket, is the ticket prices, because it's our main income.
We are disappointed for this because we need our fans away. We have fantastic fans, fantastic support from them, and we are very sorry for this.
It's down to every individual to decide, do I spend the money or not to go somewhere to watch anything. If you want to go tomorrow to a concert, you look at the price of a ticket, and after, if it's too high for you, you say yes or no.
Well, Chelsea are third in the Premier League after becoming the first team to win a league game at Stoke City's Britannia Stadium this season. It finished 4-0 on Saturday. Two own goals from John Walters set the visitors on their way before Frank Lampard and Eden Hazard rounded off the scoring. After losing to Swansea City in the League Cup semi-final first leg at Stamford Bridge earlier this week, Chelsea manager Rafael Benitez was pleased to see his side get back to winning ways.
Always to win is good. Obviously, you want to win at home and away. We are doing well away, and I think that we deserve to win also at home, but football is football, and sometimes things can happen like the other day, but I think still we are creating chances, and hopefully it will be the same and we can take our chances the next game.
Having said that, when the home team score 2 for you, that helps.
Yeah, but I think that we were on top, we were close, so if he doesn't score, maybe one of my players could score.
Well, the Stoke City manager Tony Pulis admitted it was just one of those days for John Walters.
John's been fantastic at his football club, and we all have bad days. John's had a bad day in respect of, you know, things not going his way in the two on goals and the missed penalty, but, you know, he was still brave enough to pick the ball up to take the penalty. And that's what John's all about.
In Saturday's early kick-off, it finished goalless between Queen's Park Rangers and Tottenham Hotspur at Loftus Road. Let's hear from the two managers, Harry Redknapp and first Spurs boss André Villas-Boas, who was left frustrated by the home side's defensive determination.
in a game like this, it's important to score first, to allow QPR to come out a little bit more and then find more space. So it was a difficult game for us, but we came out with a point away from home against a team that was, you know, building up on their confidence.
It was a fantastic performance, I felt, today from a team that worked their socks off against a top team in Tottenham, and it was a great point for us today. The last couple of results might just encourage one or two people to think, hang on, they've still got a chance, QPR. They're not dead and buried. And it might be a good adventure to go there and try to fight and keep them in the division. If we do that, we'll have a great time there.
Well, as it stands, QPR remain bottom of the table. Then one place above them are Reading, who came storming back from two goals down to win 3-2 at home to West Bromwich Albion. Two goals from Romelu Lukaku had put the visitors in control, but Reading scored three times in the last 8 minutes through Jimmy Kebbe, Adam Lafondra and Pavel Pogrebniak. But their manager Brian McDermott thought their opening goal was the one that turned the tide.
It was the first goal for us. Once we got the first goal, the crowd really got into the game. And then I thought, we've got a major chance here, and obviously we got the second, and to score, Pavel scored the last goal, 3-2, and, you know, seen some fantastic games this season, lots of goals, and we've been on the end of some big scorelines this season, but this season, that's the one we've scored in a five-goal game, we've won it, and we're delighted.
Also in the Premier League, Aston Villa slipped into the bottom three after a 1-0 home defeat to Southampton. Wigan Athletic climbed out of the relegation places at Villa's expense after a 1-1 draw at Fulham. Sunderland lifted themselves away from the bottom three, for now at least, after a 3-0 win over West Ham United. And there were 0-0 draws for Everton at home to Swansea City and Newcastle United away at Norwich City. Elsewhere in Europe then, let's start with Spain. And Real Madrid, who were without the suspended Cristiano Ronaldo, were held to a goalless draw at the bottom club, Osasuna, a result which leaves the champions 15 points behind the leaders Barcelona. In Italy, Internazionale moved into the Champions League places with a 2-0 win over Pescara, and Bologna beat Inform Chievo 4-0 in Serie A thanks to two goals from Alberto Gilardino. Lyon took advantage of Paris Saint-Germain's unexpected slip-up on Friday by beating Troyes 2-1 away from home to move to the top of the French league. Both of Lyon's goals came from corners, as midfielder Maxime Gonalon and the centre-half Samuel Umtiti scored either side of veteran Benjamin Nive's equaliser. On to cricket now, and day three of the second and final test between South Africa and New Zealand gets underway in 3 hours' time. South Africa are well in control in Port Elizabeth. They declared on 525 for 8 on Saturday. Hashim Amla, Faf du Plessis and Dean Elgar all made centuries. In reply, New Zealand have slumped to 47 for 6. That's still 478 runs behind. The Proteus lead 1-0 in the series there. In the first divisional playoff game of the new NFL season, the Baltimore Ravens beat the Denver Broncos 38-35 in an incredible game that saw three separate records broken. The match was the longest game in NFL playoff history. Broncos player Trindon Holliday wrote himself into the record books twice. A 90-yard kickoff return was the longest in the history of the playoffs. He then completed an end-zone-to-end-zone kickoff return, again from the longest distance ever in the postseason. There was even more drama to come, though, and US sports journalist Paul Pabbs says it's one of the best NFL games he's ever seen.
It really is. It's the first ever two overtime playoff game in NFL history. You got Peyton Manning, Ray Lewis, possibly his last game. There was a moment late in the game where it looked like the Broncos had it, and somehow the Ravens and their quarterback Joe Flacco threw an 80-yard touchdown pass to force overtime, and again, they were able to pick off Peyton Manning, who doesn't throw a lot of interceptions in overtime, and kick it for the win.
Before we go, a quick reminder of our top story. The gap at the top of the Premier League could be as many as 10 or as few as 4 points by Sunday evening. Manchester United play Liverpool. Manchester City travel to Arsenal. That's the latest World Sport.